Dr. Kirk Elliott has kept us in the loop when it comes to our banking systems. Right now, they look like they are about to fail again. If you recall, last year, three banks failed. And just recently, last week, the FDIC actually had to seize one other bank as well. And so a lot is on the horizon for us, sadly. Dr. Kirk Elliott joins us now to detail.
We've been talking now for probably 6-7 months about how the Fed's interest rate policy has shifted from, oh, we're going to have 6-8 rate decreases in 2024 down to, 5-6, down to 2-3. Well, now I've been saying they can't do that. They actually can't do that because the inflationary pressures are heating up again. They never actually killed inflation to begin with. So you can't lower rates when inflation is persisting. Well, over the weekend, some research was conducted about interest rate policy. And you know what? There's over 60,000 aggregate headlines now all over the world that say the Fed is not even just considering maybe one or two, but taking a way more hawkish stance and is going to have to raise interest rates. Except for maybe one, was my prediction in around October timeframe for the election to show the world that they actually have this under control. But they might not even get that, because now the talk between Federal Reserve presidents and economic news people and hedge funds and people all over the world that are in the know, that are financial experts, saying we can't even have one rate decrease this year. We'll either have to pause or start raising rates. Okay, so this is going to have dramatic implications. Now, one thing that actually would point to that is the Japanese yen. So I don't know how many of you may have seen it, but I sure did over the weekend. The yen is tanking, absolutely tanking, to the lowest point. Lowest point in, at least 25 years against the dollar. So it's accelerating. Their money creation of the yen is going through the roof. What does this mean? It means that the exchange rate between the dollar and the yen is tanking. They can't keep interest rates low. They've kept interest rates artificially low, bucking the trend throughout the world to either pause rates or actually increase them. They still have interest rates at like 0.1%, right? So now with them tanking, they have to raise rates because the inflationary spiral in Japan is insane. So when you have a major economy that hasn't raised rates, that now is, what you're going to see is competitive devaluations across the globe as people, hedge funds, countries, everybody starts chasing yield, right? So Japan has been behind the eight ball. So they're going to probably have to raise rates. And as they raise rates, the rest of the world says, oh man, we've got to raise rates too, right? Because they want to start chasing yield. Japan's just playing catch up here. But it is, I think, we're entering into an era of competitive devaluations, which means interest rates globally, not just in the United States, are going to have to go up. So with inflation persisting, interest rates simply have to rise. They have to rise. So what is the implications of that to the economy? Number one, people are already strapped. They're already capital constrained. And you amplify that with inflation. So I think the economy is going to really kind of hit the skids. It's not going to be good for anybody who's living at the margin, which sadly is most of the American public, right? It's most of the people around the world living month to month, paycheck to paycheck. And over the weekend, with this global, I would call it pandemic of debt and malaise and people not being able to afford to live, the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, warned of banking collapse and bank runs coming. Okay, so it's like, they're now starting to sound the warning sirens that we've been announcing for literally 7 months that this is coming. Ever since Silicon Valley Bank didn't really, they didn't fix the problem, They fixed it with emergency stimulus money to stop more bank runs, but that was just the Band-Aid. Like we talked about, they never fixed the wound underneath. They just put a Band-Aid on. That sunset, that expired. And so now the IMF is warning of banking collapse and bank runs. Well, what happened a couple of days after that warning? Big bank failure. I think this is the first one of the next round, as a bank in Philadelphia went into default, went into FDIC receivership. So that's the first one. I think we're going to have way more. I think this is the beginning of kind of a spotlight on the banking industry. And now we've got another big bank that just failed. And this is going to be detrimental, as I think we start to have bank runs. The problem with that is we don't have emergency funding to bail out the banks. Goes into FDIC receivership. That's what will happen. And so the FDIC, as we've talked about, is very much underfunded, with only 0.74% of all assets or deposits actually have insurance. Well, this big bank failure in Philadelphia, another big regional bank, is going to dip into that amount of available assets that the FDIC has to bail out failing banks. See, very problematic. Well, I was just, you know, this part is old news. This came out in October, November of last year. But when Silicon Valley Bank went down, you know, they FDIC covered everybody with $250,000 or less in basically deposits. What happens to the other amount? You know, as FDIC bails out some of the people, the banks actually are losing out massively. So Silicon Valley Bank, SVB, asked the Fed for the $2 billion that went to the Fed. They wanted it back, right? Because it went into receivership, and they petitioned to have that excess come back to them. And the FDIC refused. It said, nope. We bailed out everyone under $250,000. You're not getting any of your $2 billion back. So part of me doesn't feel bad, but because they mismanaged it, right? They don't deserve it back. But here's the implication of that. Bank after bank after bank is going to start holding back their money. They're going to actually keep reserves back, because if they fail, they're not going to want to have zero money, because they're not getting it back from the Fed. So I think it's going to get harder to get loans. I think banks are going to change their lending practices. And to me, that's government theft almost of, but don't misread me on that. These banks deserve to fail if they've mismanaged their funds. However, the Fed, FDIC saying, we're not going to give back any of the excess that we took when we went under FDIC receivership. This is the same thing that's happening to Russia right now. And I think that will destroy Western banking. It's going to destabilize the world, because there was just a recent ruling through the courts in Russia that says JP Morgan Chase has to pay Russia back $400 and something million of assets that were seized. So now the banks are going to have to pay this back, and they have no money. And that to me is because of Biden freezing Russia's assets, which is common in times of war for a country to do that, but it's absolute theft of another country's assets. So now Russia's fighting back and saying, we want our money back from JP Morgan Chase, at least $440 million. And I think this is going to happen over and over and over again, putting even more capital constraints on the banks. And you look at some other news that came out this weekend: the dollar, gold, and crypto all going up at the same time. That is so rare. Absolutely rare. So if you dig into it, I'm trying to figure out, you know, because normally as the dollar collapses, gold goes up, but they're all going up at the same time. So what does that mean? The dollar is going up against what? Other currencies. So other currencies around the globe are collapsing hand over fist. All three of these are moving together. Now, one, the dollar going up is actually kind of a function of everything else is collapsing. And so I believe that's a temporary thing. Going into gold and crypto is a structural change to the economy, not more of like a seasonal one. It's more structural. So moving forward, people are losing confidence in the government. They're losing confidence in the banking system. They're losing confidence in their currencies. I mean, why would anybody in their right mind would want to invest or hold money in the currencies of their country when debt is exploding, when banks are failing, when tax policy, fiscal policy, monetary policy is all pointing towards inflation, raising rates, raising taxes, declining global recession? Why would you want to hold anybody's currency or our currency for that matter? And the answer is you wouldn't long term. But that's going to create the structural shift that we're seeing where people are now wanting to move into gold, into crypto. Why do people go into gold and crypto? Because it's private. The appearance is it's private. That's a perception. And there's high growth there. That's why they would go into those things. Well, now that there's starting to be more and more regulations on the crypto space, it kind of leads to one answer: gold and silver, tangible assets, going back to something that's real, going back to something that's accountable, going back to something that's more transparent. And I think that's the new paradigm that we're entering into.
We love having Dr. Kirk Elliott on this show. He is so insightful and we look forward to it every week. And folks, if you'd like to get in touch with him and his team, it's very easy to do so. We've set you up a landing page, which is so, so simple to use. Head over to briannagold.com and fill out the contact form. A member of Dr. Kirk Elliott's team will reach out to you to schedule an appointment, and then somebody will call you to talk over your financial goals and what you're looking to do specifically. So head over to briannagold.com, fill out that contact form, and somebody from his team will reach out. It's so simple. It's free to do. And they love talking to you about your financial goals and coming up with a plan to outlast this bottom Biden economy. And so we are greatly appreciative of all that they do. Again, folks, it's briannagold.com. We'll be right back.
In a world where technology surrounds us, our exposure to EMR, or electromagnetic radiation, is higher than ever before. With over 400,000 cell towers and antennas in the United States alone, not to mention Wi-Fi that runs 24/7 in our home, cell phones that are carried in our pockets hours on end, and hundreds of 5G satellites in our orbit, common complaints are ringing in the ear, sleep deprivation, heart palpitations, insomnia, and so much more. Start protecting yourself now. Introducing Redemption Shield, your EMF protection products. With over 700 five-star reviews, Redemption Shield is leading the way in shielding and grounding products, taking inflammation out of your body with grounding bed mats, grounding bed sheets, hats, scarves, Wi-Fi router covers, cell phone bags. Come and see us today at redemptionshield.com and get grounded and shielded. Redemptionshield.com. Use code BREE and save 10%.
You guys, I've said it once before, so I'm going to say it again. And under the Biden regime, I've never been more worried about my financial future. I called my good friend Dr. Kirk Elliott because I wanted to come up with a plan put in place to make sure I was secure, and he came with a plan for me to invest in silver.
I'm rich.
I've got my silver. I'm feeling so much better about my future. I highly recommend you give him a call and just chat with his team. 720-605-3900. Now you could also head over to his website if you'd like to schedule an appointment. It's kirkelliottphd.com/Brianna. And if you enjoyed that segment, make sure you hit that like button. And if you want to see the news before it becomes the news, you have to subscribe to our channel. And well, if you have a liberal friend that you're looking to save, make sure you share this content with them.